As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
As we promise, every Tuesday, we check in at the mayor's office. So we head down the 7 line, take a right on Morton, cruise into the Showers Plaza, City Hall, knock on the mayor's door, and there's our great friend, John Hamilton. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Who's there? Nice to see you, Mike. I always like getting to catch up on Tuesdays.
Well, it's hard to tell who I am because I've got the ski mask on, the toboggan, the gloves, the scarf, the vest, the jacket, the snow pants, and a dog sled. That's what it feels like here on a Tuesday. But
You're not like a New Zealander who wears shorts with all that. You know.
Not with this breeze. That is true. No, thank you. Feels right. Like 37. That's that's a little crispy. It felt worse yesterday, and hopefully we get through all this and get moving along. The one place that I know is it's looked busy when I've driven by is the 302 South Walnut. That would be Election Central, the only place to do early voting. There's signs and people and everything last week when the weather was nice, and they've even had a crowd today, so that's something I want to remind everybody. Early voting, if you are registered, continues all of this work week, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. at 302 South College Avenue, or South Walnut. South Walnut. South College.
Good reminder. Good reminder.
Yeah. I forgot to do it yesterday. I'm a dope, but I'm trying to get better. Trying to get better. So there we go. We're busy doing that. Since the last time we have spoken, well, there's been a lot of headlines that we need to get to. And sadly, one of them is from a couple weeks ago involving a fatal hit and run with a scooter here locally that happened over on 12th Street or right before the bridge. Between 12th and 13th Street. And the scooters have always been a point of consternation. They arrived, interestingly, what, 3 or 4 years ago? I remember talking to you about this. They just one day dropped out of the sky, and whammo, there they were. So we've tried to figure out how to regulate them, codify them, whatever the word I'm looking for here. And now we're looking to make sure that they have hours of operation. Tell us what that development, where it came from, and what is it going to mean moving forward?
You know, back when they came about 4 years ago, I remember feeling like, one, it's a good thing to be a city where scooter companies want to come. That is, they come to cities, you know, they started in some of the bigger coastal cities, but being a city where kind of these new idea companies want to try out and find an innovative place and people who would adopt, you know, new ideas. So in that sense, it's kind of a mark that you're a city on the map, if you will, you know, that for that kind of thing. And since they've come, we've had 1.2 million rides on scooters. So that's a pretty big number for a town of 85,000 people. And so they're being used a lot. And we have, like many cities, kind of figured out as we move along how to manage them, and working with IU, they've taken certain approaches. But as you mentioned, you know, we had two tragedies really in the last couple months. We had a solo scooter accident in August that killed an undergraduate, and then, as you mentioned, a couple weeks ago, we had a totally innocent scooter rider. I mean, they were just riding in the bike lane, as far as I know, and it could have been a pedestrian or a bicyclist or anybody. And we had a person who's now been charged with hit and run and driving while intoxicated who killed them, ran them over, and left the scene of the accident. So one of the things that we noticed, though, and as we talked to IU, and of course, you know, that's a terrible couple episodes they've had to deal with. Those both occurred at about 2 a.m., both of those accidents, the solo one and then the hit and run. And we've looked at some other cities, and we've tried to think about, you know, how do we make sure we keep people as safe as possible. And we did direct the three scooter companies that are working here to do a 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Basically stop having your scooters available. We've seen bad things happen during that time. They're less important to get to and from classes, obviously, at that time. So we're doing this pilot. We've seen some other cities do this. We're going to be continuing to review the accident data. It's tricky to get that data because you don't have, not everybody reports it, and it's not reported as a scooter accident all the time. But we're going to be looking at that over the next couple months, and by springtime, I think we'll, you know, we'll either keep going this way, or we may adjust it or tweak it. But we felt it was important to try to take some steps to do everything we can to keep everybody safe.
Now, what can and can't you do? Can you dictate to the scooter companies like that? I'm going back in my filing cabinet, and my memory's pretty good. And I remember when I was doing mornings, and, you know, I'd have to be here like 6:15, and I would see guys in trucks, like, pulling the scooters off the trucks and setting them up, you know, in front of yogis or whatever else. That's gone on for was that them doing that on their own accord, or was that because you requested it? What can they do, and what do they have to listen to? I know for a while there was kind of a back and forth, like, well, you guys can say anything you want, but what are you going to do to us?
It's a really good question. Basically, they are here under a contract with the city, so we do have substantial authority to, for example, call them and say, we really want you to do this these hours, or we want you to, we're starting to do some geofencing, it's called, where, and IU does this quite actively, so they don't use scooters around athletic events. You can't drive them up to the every gate of the football stadium and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of flexibility. Also, the city council could pass an ordinance. They could, for example, if you actually wanted to prohibit scooters, you would not just deal with these companies. You'd have to deal with anybody who owned a private scooter too, right? So City council could pass an ordinance, and they have, about riding on sidewalks, just like we do with bicycles, whether it's your own bicycle or a borrowed bicycle or rented whatever. So there's a lot of options. But
what about a speed limit? Is that something you could
do? There is one. There's a governor requirement that none of them go above 20, I think. That's it. Now, the tricky thing is if they are to have physical governors that keep them from that. The problem is if you're going down a hill, you can get going faster than that, probably. They don't have automatic braking, for example.
Gotcha.
So all of that is kind of on the table. And look, I'll tell you, you know, the scooter companies, there's parking issues that they get knocked over and left in places, and we're working. We've actually hired 2 part-time people to gather more data and clean that up, and we'll charge the scooter companies. They pay us annual fees for their privilege of serving in the city, and we are using that to hire some more people to help work on this. And it's an evolving thing. It's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's like a taxi cab industry that started out, and everybody figures out how to, you know, regulate how many and how it's going to work and fees and all that kind of stuff. But right now we're working mostly, primarily we wanted to work on the safety issue immediately. And
let me ask you another silly question, because it seems silly to me, but just the scope of this, that I think people listening might not just capture. Well, you have bikes that do the same thing. What's the difference of scooter and bike?
Well, it's all a really good question. I mean, you know, it's interesting when you get into this kind of stuff as a regulator, as a city government, have to be really thoughtful. And you could ask, well, how about motorized skateboards or those uniwheels that people ride around? Or I don't know what they're going to come up with next month. You know? So bicycles and scooters are regulated in some similar ways. For example, under law, you're not to be on sidewalks in the downtown area, either as a bicyclist or a scooter. Now, enforcing that, writing tickets is an issue, you know, but we have, you may see the stencils on the sidewalks, and it can be an issue if you get into an accident and it becomes clear that you are violating the law, then your liability can be pretty clear then, too. So we do have to pay attention to, as I mentioned, scooters. We can control the rental companies much more than we can control somebody who owns their own scooter.
Amen.
Right? Those are different ways to deal with that. But it's, look, I, you know, these are, I'm glad people are using scooters. I want them to use them safely. I wish people would use helmets more. And we've definitely had serious injuries in addition to the fatalities. And so it is concerning. But as we were reminded, we've had pedestrians killed in our city, which is terrible and tragic, too, in the last several years. And so one of the main things is figuring out how to keep automobile speeds under control, keep automobiles under control, because that's usually what can cause the biggest damage, is when they hit a bicyclist or a scooter rider or a pedestrian.
And I think the other part of this where people have mentioned to me is, well, if we're not enforcing it, why are we wasting all of our time on it? Explain to our listeners how and when this does get enforced, and are you tracking the numbers to make sure it is?
Well, it's all a balance, I suppose. We work with the companies to make sure that they are complying with the rules of speed governance, where the parking that you referenced, that they pick up and return scooters, regularly and consistently, that they crack down on riders of scooters who don't park them appropriately. That's up to the companies, and we are in constant contact with them about that. We don't tend to write tickets from our police department to a speeding scooter. I'm not aware of that having happened. We would if they were completely really reckless, just like we would a bicyclist.
Right.
That was really reckless. But it's all a balance of, you know, the kind of the risk and harm and the other things that we are doing in terms of enforcing public safety.
John Hamilton is the mayor of Bloomington. He is my guest every Tuesday just after 4:05. I could build you 3 convention centers if I had a dollar for every time I saw someone driving and texting and we were able to enforce that law. We would be Convention Center USA with all the fines that had to go on. I'm not for Big Brother. That's not where I'm going with this. But boy, oh boy, nobody listens to that advice of putting your phone down while you're driving. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know that's
it
really important.
Amazing.
And let me your listeners may not be aware, because I know I wasn't before I got this job, but under state law, we are not allowed in Bloomington to use speed cameras or red light cameras. I would like to use speed cameras because it's a waste of energy and effort to try to have patrol officers all over the city, but I could put up 600 little black boxes and you'd never know which had 50 cameras in them, you know,
right,
and move them around the city and just let people know when you come into the city, you better follow the speed limit because we're going to catch you. If you don't, we'll write you a ticket.
Well, I want everybody to know right now that does not happen in Bloomington. There are some intersections where it looks like there are cameras on the top of them, and some of the newer ones. There are some fangled devices up there, but Mayor Hamilton has just told you that those are not speed cameras. So there you go.
They are not. But I'm telling you, I wish the state would let us work with that, because I do think we could protect a lot of safety if we had that capacity. And I expect we'll get there eventually. We don't do license plate identification, which some cities have been doing, which is a kind of a scary technology, actually, if you get into it. So that's not what I would want to do, but I do think controlling speeds, using sensible ways to do that would help our city a lot.
Yeah, the easier way to do it, in my opinion, but I'm not an expert on this, would be just timing your lights and make sure. I know those studies cost money. I know we've talked to Adam about that before, but there's sometimes
that helps.
There's sometimes in the summer, well, I'll sit at University and Atwater, and there's no one coming for 45 seconds, and I'm waiting, But that's the thing. And then I went down, when I was driving through downtown yesterday, I went red light, red light, red light. So there's not a green where you can just all the way down it. So that does help it out.
Yeah.
Help it out as well. Speaking of convention centers, let's not bury the lead, Glass, shall we? When I talked to you last Tuesday, we didn't really have any news. And then on Wednesday, I spoke with Eric Spoonmore from the Bloomington Chamber, Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. And all of a sudden, he's telling me that he was at the commissioner's meeting or paying attention to it from Wednesday morning. And all of a sudden, everybody's open for business. Where do we stand 6 days later? Well, from the city's point of view.
Sure. I'm actually optimistic that we'll be able to move forward with the convention center, and it's surely something that we've been working hard on for six years now. We've taken 2 swings at it, I would say. We took a big swing for several years before the pandemic, trying to reach a conclusion, and we just didn't. We couldn't get to a landing place on that, and it was a lot of time and a lot of energy, and we should have been able to, and from my perspective, but we weren't. Then we had the pandemic, and we wanted to try to pick up again, and we thought a second swing at this was to say, well, how about we propose, and Eric Spoonmore was very helpful, propose that the county transfer the convention center to let the city undertake the project as a whole, and we offered some wanted to talk about that. That's what over the last couple months we had hoped to be able to sit down and really negotiate, explore that. That was not taken up. We really didn't ever get a chance to sit down and talk about that much. And the county has said they're not interested in it. The commissioners have said they're not interested in that. So that was swing number two. I think swing number three is going to be, well, let's see if we can't just figure out how the city, with we own property, we have the income coming from the food and beverage tax. We could, we think, look at ways to collaborate with everyone moving forward, but to lead the building process of a great new convention center facility that could lead to an integrated management of these two buildings, but let us get off the dime and just get the construction and design underway. So I don't know how the county will react to that. The commissioners, we will be talking to everyone about that, the county council, the city council, the county commissioners, the food and beverage tax commission, and the hotel motel folks, all that. There's a
what
whole
about
bunch
me? Are you going to ask me about it?
Of course. Every Tuesday I'll talk to you about
that's
it.
That's right.
Until you get blue in the face. But I'm optimistic that we can do that because we do have site money plans, and we know how to do this, Mike. We've built the, you know, we know how to build big things. We did Switchyard Park, and we did the mill, and we've done, we just opened the Waldron, you know, which we may talk about, all those things. We can do these projects. We just need to, we need to get the capacity to move ahead and not have people who aren't as committed to it kind of vetoing steps along the way.
So is this an improvement from a week ago?
Well, I think it's clarity that the county rejected the swing number two, the second offer that we wanted to try. So we think this maybe third time's a charm. We can move ahead with, again, fully collaboratively, but not one of the problems with the Capital Improvement Board, which you and I have talked about, is it gives multiple parties a veto over virtually any step. And if you have multiple parties, each of whom can veto it, and some of those parties aren't as excited about a convention center, that makes it very difficult. And let me be clear, it's perfectly reasonable for some people to say, I don't want a convention center. There are people in the community who feel that way. There, I think we have elected officials who feel that way, and that's important. But if those entities have veto power over the project, then it's very difficult to get a complex, major project like this going forward.
And when we have this many cooks in the kitchen, is this why we're trying to just have a couple cooks instead of the whole family in there trying to make the stew?
Yeah, and yes. And let me just say what that means is really just someone who can lead the construction and design and financing and all that stuff, which is really hard, but absolutely have a wide open table to talk about different views. And ultimately, Mike, I think we can have an integrated management. That is, we can build a new 30,000 square foot building or whatever, you know, whatever we need to enhance the attractiveness for conventioneers, and then have one entity manage both the existing convention center and the new convention center. It can be run as an integrated package, and people who come here won't have any idea, well, who owns which or whatever.
Well, that's kind of my point is does everybody want that responsibility, or should we just give it to who wants that and does it best? Is that the issue with the veto? Because you can just pass it around the table, well, infinitely, it seems like.
It's very difficult to get a big project done if there are multiple parties who can veto it, particularly if there are multiple parties, some of whom are not that keen on the whole project. And again, it's fine if people aren't keen on the project. But those of us who are can get it built, and we can create a very collaborative environment to welcome all viewpoints, including people who say, I don't know why you're building this thing. I don't think you should build it. That's, you know, that's fine. It's a democracy.
Right.
But the tax was voted in by democracy. We committed as a city to build this thing with the money that we're getting. And so we need to do that. That's what we promised to do. And we think we can move ahead very effectively and produce a beautiful new addition to convention capacity and have it integrated with the existing facility. And I think in a few years, nobody will even care how it came to be. It'll be, oh, well, that's working great. It's a new place. We're busier now from Sunday to Thursday, and restaurants are doing better. You know, I was just talking to two restaurateurs. They can't even open up 7 days a week. Now, that's partly because of employment.
Sure.
But if we can keep the demand increasing, that'll help them
right.
continue to thrive.
Most people right. want to work when it's busy. That's exactly yeah. right. It is. They don't want to stand there for 8 hours and just count down the minutes. It's not right. stimulating right. Or good enough. And speaking of the convention center, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so stop me at any point. The plan is to add to what we have, not tear it all down and start over. Is the hotel still in plan? Is this too early for me to think about? Are we going to have four buildings on four corners that are connected by hamster trails? Do we have anything on paper? I can't remember 3 years ago what we got to.
Really good question. So, yes, it will integrate with what we have. There's no plan, I don't think, under which we wouldn't keep what we have. It's a neat old building. It's got some assets, but it's a little old in the tooth. It may need some upgrading. But we need more space. We need bigger space, and we need modern space that's got the digital connectivity and the kind of stuff people are going to be looking for. So that's one. But it could be physically connected to the current space, or at least operationally. Second, one thing that's really important, I think because of the location we've now identified, and that was done before the pandemic, of that block immediately north of the current convention center between 3rd and 4th and between College and Morton, there's a hotel immediately north of it, the Hyatt.
Yeah, absolutely right.
We got that right there. And there's, of course, the courtyard just south of the existing one. And if you just turn your head and look east, there's a big parking garage just half a block away. So we actually may be able to do this without having to do any more hotel or parking garage at the get-go. That could happen over time as it kind of grows into space, you know. But that will help us move more quickly as well. So I
right,
think
because
you,
the finding the partner for the hotel and building this originally was not an easy thing to do, if I remember correctly.
Not simple.
There weren't people lining up saying, oh, please let me do it, please let me do it. So very interesting as we move forward on this. I guess my last question on this would be, and I've beaten the horse almost all the way into the ground. Is there a timeline moving forward, or are we just happy that there is dialogue, or do we have a goal for, hey, you know, the legislators can still take this money away from not doing anything. Where do we stand with that? Or are we just happy to be talking?
Well, we look forward to continuing to talk, but we did give, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we said look for the city to come out with a kind of an outline of a path forward in the next 30 to 45 days. So that's in the next month or so. We expect to be able to give a little more meat on the bones of how we think this can go forward. And so it is important to move still this year. And you know, this is a three-year project to get this thing done. So it's not like we can... We right now, if we said yes, we still have 3 years where we're turning away a bunch of business, right? So it is important to move quickly, and we expect to do that and get some real direction defined yet this year.
Excellent. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. Before we let him go this afternoon, the Waldron grand opening, big celebration last Thursday. The Art Deco redo. Well, that's pretty cool.
Oh, it was, Constellation, which you know is that new company that combined from Cardinal and Bloomington Players Project and Pegasus Film, is a fantastic new tenant. They've got a five-year lease. We put a bunch of money, public money, to help fix that building up, and then they put a bunch of private money in, and it's gorgeous. I encourage anybody to stop by there. There's a terrific Bloomington Photography Club exhibition, their 31st annual exhibition that opened up, and their plays. I think the importance of being earnest is there now. If you can learn, you could get some more sharp wit out of that, I'm sure, if you went to that. You're pretty good at that. You would enjoy it. But it's a great new asset, kind of revived and restored, and man, it's cool looking in there. I recommend stopping in.
Excellent. Well, that was a big celebration last Thursday, so I definitely wanted to touch on that with you as well. All right, you're busy. You've given me plenty of time today. I really appreciate all the candor and insight on all of it. Did we talk about the annexation hearing on Friday?
No, we didn't, and you know, this is another subject we've gone through quite a few times,
right,
haven't we, over the last few years. So we have two lawsuits that are going on, and there is a hearing this Friday that's on a preliminary question that we hope and expect to prevail on, which is the people who didn't get as many signatures as they hoped have asked the judge to give them another 90-day period to collect signatures. Now, that's kind of like saying we want to redo the election when we found out we lost. but that's what the hearing is about Friday. So it's kind of a preliminary stage. We hope it will get resolved quickly, and then we can move to the merits, which is effectively on the west side, particularly areas 1A and 1B. As you remember, it's going to be a court trial on, is this an appropriate annexation or not? And we feel confident that it is, and we want to get to those merits as quickly as we can.
And the other courtroom decision, I believe, went in your favor. The Indiana Supreme Court ruled in the, was it the Plan Commission? I'm trying to keep all of this straight. And I know you weren't surprised that happened. You were confident from the beginning. Now that's over with. Who's sitting where, and how does that work moving forward?
Yeah, that was a kind of a weird technical lawsuit about who has the right to replace a member who left an opening on a commission. And the position that lost was that you could only appoint a Democrat or a Republican to a commission that had a state requirement that you not have all of one party on there. And our position was, you can appoint people who are no party. They can be independents, or they could be witches, or whatever. I don't know any party, but and that's the part. That's the view that prevailed, which meant that we had the right to replace a person. And so, good old Chris Cockrum, who's been serving there for 2 years, gets to keep serving and doing the good service on the Plan Commission.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate you helping me out in the legalese world. That is not an area of my expertise. Neither is epidemiology, and thankfully we're not hopefully going to have to deal with that much anymore. But thank you again for your time and your insight. Great work as always, and we'll do it again next week. Next week is the 25th. That will be our Halloween edition, because we'll be on after Halloween, so we'll have to dress up. So you can, but you have to bring an audio.
I'll do my best.
It's an audio costume. It's really easy.
Audio costume. I'll work on that. Okay.
Thanks, John.
Have a good week, everybody. Take care.